Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. God is good, and all the time. If ever you feel alone, burdened, read Psalm 3, written by David when he was on the run. You don't have to read it now, but read it sometime. He was on the run from those who were pursuing him, Saul, and he poured out his soul to God. How are they increased that trouble me? Sometimes it seems as if everyone is against you on the job, at school, at home, in the church, the government, everyone. This is not persecution complex. Everyone from time to time seems to feel, I am all alone. David felt that. How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Your case is hopeless. You're a hopeless student. You're hopeless whatever. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. A sad and depressed person does not walk around like this. The person walks around like that. David said, God is the one who puts a finger under the chin and raises up your head. Look at me, says God. God is good, I say again. And all the time, Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. Psalm 145 verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Exodus 34 verse 6, he is abundant in goodness and truth. Abundant in goodness and truth. How God gets a bad name, I will never understand. And nobody gets on the devil's case. We only get on God's case. When something goes wrong, how can God do this to me? It's an automatic response. How can God do this to me? There's a flood, it is an act of God. There's a tsunami, it is an act of God. Everything disastrous is an act of God. Which isn't the case. It is the enemy that overwhelmingly sends these disasters. Because Satan is a specialist in creating confusion. Let me tell you from my experience, I believe you'll agree. God is a good God. Our subject for this evening, does God have rights? We live in a country where people are very, very serious about their rights. Don't you dare violate my rights. I have a right to carry a gun. I have a right not to take this. I have a right to do this. I have a right. And yes, there are rights enshrined in our Constitution. Does God have rights? Pray. Our Father and our God, we come into your presence as we came last night and the night before. We're grateful for preserving our lives during the day. And Father, we quickly recommit our lives to you and ask you if we have sinned against you, forgive us, dear God. You love to forgive. Calvary is proof. I ask you, Father, to possess my mind, my faculties, or the entire apparatus I need to speak this message. I place it under your control. Tell me what to say. Tell me when to say it. Tell me how to say it. And grant to me the humility of Christ to listen when your Spirit speaks to me. Bless everyone who has come in the building and online, wherever they are, Father. Let them feel your touch. Let them feel it by faith. A very special blessing on all those who are not Seventh-day Adventists. We are delighted and honored by their presence with us. Now, dear God, I am sure there's someone listening to me who is sick. I ask in the name of Jesus, heal that person, dear God. If the sickness is COVID-19, remove it completely. And where you choose not to heal, give great improvement, Father. But do something, dear God, to ease suffering. Bless this country. Bless the leaders of this blessed country, I pray. Remind them at all times by your Spirit that righteousness exalteth a nation. Bless every nation represented by those who are following this program. Please, God, answer this prayer if it pleases you. I offer it in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. The book of Exodus, chapter 5, reading from verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me, where? In the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, what did Pharaoh say? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Keep reading now. I know what? Not the Lord. Can finish the verse? Neither will I let, because I don't know him, I will not do what he says. Who is this? Keep in mind, Pharaoh was possibly the most powerful person in the world of the Bible then. So what we have is the most powerful person in the universe sends a command to the most powerful person in the world of the Bible. And the little person on earth wants to know, who is this God who has commanded me to release my workers that prop up my economy? I don't know him, and I will not let Israel go because I don't know him. He has no right to order me about. Pharaoh isn't the only Bible figure to make that mistake. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Does God have rights? Daniel chapter 3, we'll read from verse 8. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold. He requires that the entire nation, the entire kingdom, bow down and worship. Three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, absolutely refuse to kneel, not out of disrespect to Nebuchadnezzar, but out of respect to God. Are you following me? Respect to God may come across as disrespect to human leaders, but that's not the case. In all that we do, God must be number one. Can you say amen? And so in verse 8 of Daniel 3, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, should fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And they reminded Nebuchadnezzar of his law that he had passed. He had made a decree. There are three men who were violating your decree. By that time, Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful ruler in the world of the Bible. Are you with me? Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Is this true? Is it possibly true that you are defying a command from the most powerful king on earth? But in his power and his arrogance, there was a sliver of kindness. And so he said in verse 15, he gives them a second chance. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You finish that verse. And who is that God which shall deliver you out of my hand? Identical to Pharaoh, who is this God who wants to deliver Israel out of my hand. I don't know him. Consequently, I do not recognize his authority. Our subject, does God have rights? Let's pray again. Father, as I move into the second segment of the message, intensify your control of all of me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go to Genesis 1. Let's read verse 1. My favorite book of the Bible, Genesis. And my favorite section of the Bible, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. But my favorite chapter is John 17. You have Genesis 1? Without looking down, let's say verse 1. Come on, say it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything in heaven, everything on earth. Colossians 1 verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let us narrow down this expression, God. The Hebrew word is plural. Let's narrow it down. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God, can we identify a discrete person? All right, you're way ahead of me. That's not a surprise. Most people are. But let's go to the Bible and support what you just correctly said. Let's go to John chapter 1. Beautiful book. I love John. He was the youngest of the 12 disciples, the Bible scholars believe. He lived the longest. He was the one who wrote Revelation. John 1, let's read from verse 1. Read with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Stop. We have some information that helps us identify who this God is. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. That's one person. And the Word was with God. Two persons. And the Word was God. Equality. Are you with me? Two persons, but equal. The same was in the beginning with God. Who is the same? It's the Word in verse 1. Is what is meant by the same in verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, how many personalities are identified in those two verses? Tell me quickly. Two. Is two singular or plural? It's plural. Now, keep this in mind. Read verse 3. You read it for me. All things were made. Wait a minute. Is him singular or plural? Him is singular. We have two people in verse 2. Well, verse 1. We have two people in verse 2. How many do we have in verse 3? One. All things were made by him and without him. So whoever him is, take him out of the picture and existence ceases. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is life. Not he has life. He is life. Look at verse 10. Let's try to identify who this is. So we can read Genesis 1:1 with greater understanding. Read verse 10 of John 1. He was in the world. Come on. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. We continue with the singular, singular. Who is this him? This word. Read verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Stop. Who was made flesh? The Father? The Holy Spirit? Who? The Son. Now, go back to Genesis 1:1. Now, don't go back physically. Just say it. In the beginning No. Genesis 1:1. I'm confusing you, am I? Sorry. Genesis 1:1. Come on. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's read that using the Greenville version. Say it for me. Say it more clearly. In the beginning, Jesus created. Now, he wasn't called Jesus then, but you understand. In the beginning, Jesus created the heaven and the earth. Now, go to Acts 17. The book of Acts, written by Luke. You combine Luke and Acts, they make up one quarter of the New Testament. So Luke wrote a quarter of the New Testament. Acts 17, read verse 28. Keep in mind that the Creator is Jesus Christ. Do you have Acts 17? Verse 28. Read that for me. What does that say? For in Him, come on, we live and move and have our being. Who is this Him? Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. In Him we live and move. There may be an anatomist among us, or a physiologist or kinesiologist. In order to move a muscle, you need Jesus. Your amens are uncertain because you're trying to figure out why I said that. Listen to me again in the light of Acts 17, 28. In order to move a muscle, you need Jesus. Because He upholds all things. How? By the word of His power. Let's stay in Acts 17. Let's go to verse 22. Does God have rights? It's almost 7:30, 7:29 to be exact. Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. Now read 24 with me. What does that say? God that made what? Come on. Stop. Read that again. God that made and all things that ain't seen, that He is what? Of heaven and earth. Stop. What does Lord mean? A ruler. A ruler. Does Christ rule with the Father? Yes. God that made the earth, the world, and all things therein, seeing that He's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is what? Read 25 for me. Neither is worship how? With men's hands, as if He had need of anything. God doesn't need us for Him to exist. Oh, thanks a lot. He does not need any input from us in order for Him to exist. As if He needed anything. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. Psalm 50 verse 12. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. I ask the question again. Does God have rights? Yes. On what basis? No, before you tell, don't answer that. Go back to Genesis 1:1. Don't look down. Don't look down. Come on. Genesis 1:1. Say it with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Father, continue to speak through me, please, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the first verse of the Bible. In the first chapter of the first book. How is God introduced to the world? I've created. Not a savior. Creator. This must be important. Will God always be creator? Yes. Will He always be savior? No. When sin is done away with, there's no need for savior anymore. Are you following me? You said yes because you're a little sleepy. It's all right. I understand. Is God creator now? Was he creator before sin? Will he be creator after sin? As long as there's a heaven and an earth, there has to be a creator to sustain it. And so we are introduced to God as creator. So God has the right to say, I am the reason why the sun shines. Without sunshine, there can be no life on this earth. I am the reason rain falls. I am the reason streams flow. I am the reason the winds blow. I am the reason trees grow and produce fruit. I am the reason. I am the reason the earth turns. I am the reason the sun maintains its position. I am the reason the waves come and go back. I. God says, can I get some respect? Not Satan. Satan is the reason for calamity. God is the reason for order, design, blessings, beauty, law. And so we meet God as creator. Keep this in mind and listen again to what we read. In Him we live and move and have our being. Question for you, did this apply before sin? Yes. Adam could have said that. In Him I live and move and have my being. Yes, this applied before sin. This did not become necessary because of Calvary. This applied before sin. Can the angels say that? Yes, because they were created. I'm saying to you now, what is the reason why God has rights? Because He is creator. Does God have a right to tell you, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Amen. Yes. Why? As creator, He's the reason why you live. Listen to me carefully. You cannot get out of that pew without the power of Jesus Christ. You cannot rise from that pew. Because things have to happen in the body. And the Word of God that created is the Word of God that preserves and maintains. We need to live with the consciousness. Every step should remind you of God. How do you go through a day and not think of God? Every breath. Let me tell you about the breath. When God made Adam, Genesis 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Let me slow down. I told you when I go too quickly, say, slow down. Did I tell you that? Well, please do it. Say, preacher. And I'll slow down. Genesis 2 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So we have the ground, dirt. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became, come on, a living soul. Now, so we have dirt and we have breath. After God made Adam, listen to me carefully, did God continue adding dirt, yes or no? No. All the dirt he needed to be who he was given. God did not have to add dirt all the time. Question for you, did Adam have to breathe all the time? Yes. Every couple of seconds, what did he have to take? Where did the breath come from? What is God trying to tell us with every breath? Huh? I need him. We don't need any more dirt. Every breath, I am dependent upon heaven. John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Are you with me? Amen. Come on. You're not with me. Yes. Are you with me? In him was life, John 1, 4, and the life was the light of men. Now, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So light symbolizes what? Life. Now, listen to the creation of the sun, moon, and stars as we continue. Does God have rights? Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so now. Question for you, think hard. Favor 3. Where is the sun? Where is the moon? Don't hesitate. Speak with confidence even when you're wrong. Where is the sun? Where is the moon? Where are the stars? Where does all our light come from? What does light represent? On what do we depend for life? There is no God-created source of light that exists on the earth. Creation is an uninterrupted testimony of our dependence upon God. Every breath, you depend on heaven. The light that represents life, you depend on heaven. God has rights. Why? Because He is the Creator. And every seventh day, He says to us, stop your work and honor me. You honor me all 7 days, but in a very special way, a day where you are not interrupted by work and soccer and the playoffs. Now, are you with me? And the Tennessee Titans. And the Greenville Giants. Focus on me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work. Does God have a right to tell me that? Yes or no? Why? Because He's the Creator. In it, thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Put a name on the Lord. Jesus made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and Jesus rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore Jesus blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, and Jesus has asked me in commandment 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Jesus says, I have a right because I am the Creator. Not only is He the Creator, He's also the Savior. This mighty God was the one who came as a man. Go to Matthew 1, let's read verse 21. Our subject, does God have rights? Yes, He does. We must be willing to die to protect the rights of God. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. The martyrs did it. Do you have Matthew 1? Let's read verse 21. You should read that without looking. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. We know this Jesus is the one who made heaven and earth. Why? John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This baby who spent 9 months in the womb of a mother, of a woman, was God. This ought to give you a nice concussion. That God who made heaven and earth would spend 9 months as a helpless baby in the womb of a fallen woman. So His right is not only based on the fact that He created, it's also based on the fact that He's demonstrated His love and took a risk you and I will never understand in order to save us. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt bring forth, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Read verse 23 of the same chapter, nice and loud. Behold, come on, a virgin shall be with child, come on. Bring forth a son, come on. They shall call his what? Emmanuel, which is, wait a minute, now, in verse 21, his name is what? In verse 23, what's his name? Which means what? We have a man in verse 21. We have God in 23. This Creator came as a man. Remember we read about the thief on the cross? This man hath done nothing amiss. Luke 23, verse 41. Then he turns to Jesus in verse 42, Lord, he saw man, he saw God. This was the same person who said, let there be light. I'm saying to you, on the basis of creation and salvation, God has rights. He has a right to tell you, thou shalt not kill. Because you have never given life. Mothers, with all respect, when you give birth to a child, you have not given life. All life, finish my words, is from God. That's physical life. Spiritual life, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life, that's also from God. Same person that gives physical life, gives spiritual life. Does God have rights? The answer is yes. Does he have a right to tell you thou shalt not steal? Why? The silver and the gold is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When God put Job in his place, God says, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, you were nowhere around. Didn't exist when I made heaven and earth. As Creator and as Savior, Jesus Christ, God has rights. He has the right to tell you, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But God expresses his rights wrapped in his love. When he tells you, thou shalt have no other gods before me, he is telling you something that he knows as Creator is best for you. Mothers and fathers, you understand that. Your five-year-old child wants to do this or that, and you say no, because you know it is not best for the child, but the child with the limited mind of a five-year-old or a 17-year-old rebels because he or she does not understand the reason for the restriction, but you do. But ultimately the child obeys. Why? Because you are the parent. You may not understand why God chose to bless the seventh day above any other day. You do not have to understand all the implications. What you need to understand is he has a right to ask you why. Because he's the Creator. He has a right to ask you why. He is the Savior. And both rights are exercised in love. Let me calm down a little bit. I was preaching somewhere and a little boy said to the father, why is the preacher so angry? And I said, I need to take a look at myself. You see, when you're preaching, you don't see your face. And my face may look like the book of Revelation, but I really want you saved. Are you following me? God is good. And all the time. What has God asked you to do that you're not doing? Don't tell me. Is there something? I want you tonight to make a decision to respect the rights of God. And the highest expression of respect for the rights of God is wrapped up in one word. Starts with an O, ends with an E. Tell me quickly. Obedience. Obey. Well, that one ends in a Y, but it's the same thing. Trust and obey. Because all the benefits you can imagine are based upon obedience to God. I want you to make a commitment tonight. I really do. Father, having heard what I heard, my understanding has increased a little more. I want to respect your rights. You have a right to tell me, keep the Sabbath holy. Constantine had no right to try. What word did I say? To try to change the Sabbath. The Council of Laodicea 364, I believe, had no right to outlaw Sabbath keeping. Because Constantine did not do what? Create the heaven and the earth. Constantine did not die where? On that cross. Nor the Pope. Jesus did. With one foot in the heavens, one on the earth. He tells you tonight, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. And he says, you can hear him say, I know why I am telling you this. I know what I'm saying. Keep the Sabbath holy. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am telling you what is in the best interest of your life now and in the life to come. It's not so much God presses his rights. God presses to save us. Jesus gave up a lot of rights in his human condition. Gave up a lot of rights. And as Christians, we have to learn to do that. A lot of people are in graveyards and prisons because they defended rights, which they could have overlooked. Jesus never gave up principles. Sometimes he gave up rights. I need to say that again. A principle is higher than a right. If you're driving on a highway, and someone cuts you off or tries to, there's one lane that's blocked, the person tries to cut in, you have a right to hold your position. But there's an accident, what's the point? The principle is, love thy neighbor as thyself, let him in. That's the principle. Now I was here first, I have a right. Then you have an accident. Are you falling or you're dead? Christ defended principles, and there are 10 principles called what? The 10 commandments. That's how you and I respect the rights of God. Obedience from the heart. Because that's where he writes them, you see. He does not write the commandments in your liver or your spleen or your kidney. He writes them here because everything comes out of the heart. Christ is creator. Christ is savior. He knows what is best for you. He said in John 15, go with me. I have 10 minutes left, I think, 10, 12. Go to John 15 quickly. Try to bring someone with you tomorrow. Does God have rights as our subject? While you're looking, I'll pray. Father, I'm close to finishing. Continue to speak through me, please, Father. Remind me I'm here for you, not for me. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. John 15, let's read from verse 12. Do you have that? Read for me. This is my commandment that ye... How? Not this is my suggestion. This is my commandment. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to feel like obeying in order to obey? No. Too many Christians wait to feel like obeying. Feeling has nothing to do with it. Now, it's good if you feel like it, fine. Obedience to God is based on respect for God. Thou shalt not kill has nothing to do with how you feel. Don't steal my car, I don't care how you feel. This is my commandment, which means forgiveness is also a command. We must forgive. Some people wait to feel. Don't wait to feel like forgiving. Forgive. Because Christ said forgive. That's one amen. I'm beginning to realize when I say things that you may not like too much, but I have to say them. You don't have to feel like forgiving. You forgive where the need exists. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now read verse 13 for me. Greater love? That a man lay down his life, come on, for his friends. What's the greatest expression of love? You just read it. Self-sacrifice. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Listen to Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I love the next verse, or how he finishes that verse. Ye are my friends. Come on. If you do, whatsoever I do. Mm-hmm. Was Abraham a friend of God? Yes. God himself summarizes Abraham's life. In Genesis 26, verse 5, Abraham kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. God uses all the words he can use to express the comprehensive nature of Abraham's obedience as he grew in grace. Ye are my friends, if ye do, if you respect my rights. And we respect the rights of God by doing whatever he says. Pharaoh did not do what God said. He did not respect the rights of God. Nebuchadnezzar did not do what God said. He did not respect the rights of God. But when he respected the rights of God, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said. Go quickly to Daniel chapter 4. We'll read verse 35. And I'm coming to a close. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Listen to the humbled Nebuchadnezzar recognizing God. Remember in chapter 3, verse 15, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Listen to him now in chapter 4, verse 35. Do you have that of the book of Daniel? Read with me my version. What does it say? And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Stop. Compared to God, we are like dust. Are you following me? God, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. When I sit, I just put my foot on the earth. Are you following me? You know, we have these couches with a footstool. The earth is like a footstool to me, says God. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as dust. Keep reading. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Keep reading. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar recognized the universal power of God. No one can stay his hand. Tell him, what are you doing? Mm-mm. Psalm 115 from verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now, that's the God who wants a relationship with you. You and God. You have someone more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar, than Pharaoh, than the two of them combined. He's more powerful than the Republicans. He's more powerful than the Democrats. He's more powerful than the Kremlin. Are you with me? He's more powerful than number 10 Downing Street. He's more powerful than the fellow in North Korea. The God of heaven and earth. Does God have rights? Yes. Does he have a right to tell you, obey me? Yes. Does he have a right to ask you to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? What's the answer? Yeah. Why do I take on that one? That's the one most of the world ignores. And that's the one that identifies him as creator. You see, he is introduced as creator. The Sabbath reminds us of that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, is Genesis 1, the Lord made heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The sea and all that in them is. And rested. Genesis 2:2-3, the seventh day. The fourth commandment takes us back to how God is introduced to the world as creator. Consequently, he has a right to ask us to obey. He can't force it. He has a right. I want you to respect the rights of God. And that can be condensed into 10 little principles called the 10 commandments. Jesus said, if you want to be my friend, obey me. And all he wants is a life of harmony with his 10 commandments, which express his very life. That's why the wisest man who ever lived, who was a relative of Jesus, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Finish that verse. For this is the whole duty of man. the whole duty. And since Sunday is not one of the commandments, it's not part of the duty of man. Is this microphone working? Do you hear what I just said? Sunday is not a commandment of God. Consequently, it is not part of the duty of man. My friends listening who may be Sunday keepers, I'm just trying to open your eyes. I ask you one more time before I pray, does God have rights? How do we honor those rights? Obey Him. When God called the Israelites out of Egypt, He told them in Exodus 19, verse 4, don't go there. He has seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, based on obedience. You know the verse, John 14, 15, tell me what it says. If ye love me, come on, say it loudly. Yes. Not Constantine's commandments. Mine. There's a power in Daniel 7:25 that would think to change times and laws. Don't keep his laws. Keep mine. Are you with me? How many will say tonight, Father, I recognize your right to tell me how to live, and I want to live in obedience to your law. That's how I express my respect for your right. Stand up with me. My friends, if you do that, your life will be blessed. I didn't say your life will be easy, it will be blessed. The most blessed life was the life of Christ. It wasn't easy. Being blessed doesn't always mean having a smooth way to go. It means being right with God. Because this life, however hard it may be, only lasts this long. Are you with me? That's why Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8 verse 18. There's no comparison, says Paul, between this little life of suffering and an endless life of bliss with God. You've stood to say, I recognize God has rights, and I want to respect those rights by obeying His law, by His power. Head bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. If I have spoken badly, forgive me, Father, please. I'll try again tonight, tomorrow, to do better. Let what I've said, let the Spirit take it, Father, and apply it with heavenly but gentle force upon every mind, every heart. Because it is by the truth alone that people sanctify their God. Opinions and traditions do not sanctify, and sanctification is Your will. Help us to respect Your rights, dear God, as Creator and as Savior. Help us to honor Your seventh-day Sabbath, which You have never changed. And the Bible says there's one lawgiver, and that's Jesus Christ. To that person listening to me who thinks, I cannot keep the Sabbath, remind that person, with God all things are possible. Now as we leave, God, let us leave humbled by the message, and out of that humility, renewing our commitment to honor Your rights. Bless every family. Put a double blessing on children, dear God. Bless Your people online. Bring us all back tomorrow to this place to listen to Your life-changing word again. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.